Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. So glad you've decided to turn your dial our way today. Your browser, or whatever it happens to be. You never know nowadays. I've got these little radios where you can listen around the house from out to the pool and all that right off the internet. Lots of ways to listen to us nowadays. You can even listen to us driving down the road. I imagine a lot of you knew that with the wireless cards that you can get now in your automobile. Only about, what is it, latest I saw from Verizon, I think it was $59 a month if you already had Verizon service. Not bad, actually, if you're out on the road and need to be on the internet. I don't know how you drive, not in the traffic we have around here, and be on the internet, but if you're headed, across the plains of Wyoming or Oklahoma, or maybe even across Alligator Alley, I suppose you can have it on and entertain yourself and listen to this program. Yes, sir. And yes, ma'am. That'd be the most important part of all. Hey, we've got a great show for you today, and it'll be an even better show if you decide to participate, and you can do that by calling us 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Hello to all the folks over at iTunes and all the folks at Head On Radio Network chat room and just all around the internet, all of our good friends. Do want to let you know at the bottom of this hour from afterdowningstreet.org, we're going to have guest David Swanson with us. And David is, he's an activist is what he is. He's the washing director of Democrats.com and of impeachpack.org and meetwithcindy.org. And that reminds me, and the Progressive Democrats of America, he's, he's had a lot of good jobs. He was press secretary for Dennis Kucinich's 2004 presidential campaign. And we met David last year at the Campaign for America's Future, Take Back America Conference. And great guy, interesting guest. I'm going to have him along with us coming up at the bottom of this hour. Speaking of guests, tomorrow we're going to have David Borisaj, who happens to be the co-founder of the Take Back America Conference, Campaign for America's Future. And we'll have him along with us tomorrow. And Thursday, somebody I know you all know and have heard of, Cindy Sheehan, is going to be with us on Thursday. Don't know what time that is for sure. Don't have it listed here. But Cindy Sheehan will be with us on Thursday, yes, to talk about several issues. How you doing today? Doing all right? I noticed, let me see here. I'm looking at all the numbers to see where everybody is today. We've got I think a lot of people outside planting posies today. You never know. You never do know for sure. Where shall we go today? And by the way, I do want to mention, if you have a special guest that you'd like to hear on the show, and if we get enough requests regarding a certain guest, well, we'd be happy to try and get him on for you. We do our best. We really do. And we received, well, Phil, one of our regular listeners from Daytona Beach, Florida, mentioned to us that he'd like to hear from David Swanson and some others as well. And so called Dave this morning. Dave said, yeah, sure, we'll be on today. So that's how it works. Again, you can reach us by calling us at 866-546-5254, and we do hope you'll join the program today. A lot going on in the political spectrum. I see Wolfowitz having another problem. Is he an embarrassment? Can there be an embarrassment to this administration anymore? A lot of people say, well, he's not in this administration. No, he may not be in this administration, but he was one of the architects of Junior Bush's war. He was one of the Progress for New American Century people, Project for New American Century people that helped talk Junior into going into Iraq, one of the crazies. A real bastard, in my opinion. And Bushy Boy puts him in as head of the World Bank, a position in which Wolf had no experience whatsoever. And then we find out he's passing some pretty good coins on to his girlfriend in a very illicit manner, going in and out and round about the rules of the World Bank to get her paid more money than she needed to have. And he just doesn't have the decency to resign, and now the World Bank folks are thinking they might just boot his ass out. It's pretty much either quit or they'll throw him out. And another embarrassment for the Bush White House, though. He's a trusted person within the Bush White House. And, you know, you take the likes of him and the Richard Pearls and the Rumsfelds and the Cheneys and everything. You know, my God, what's wrong with these people harboring people like that within their good graces, within their conservative ideology? Hearing that more and more nowadays, aren't we? Conservative ideology. No, we're not Republicans. We're conservatives. Go ahead and run for it if you think you can get away from it, but we're not going to let you run from it. I'm not going to let you run from it. And it reminded me again, when was it? Last week? Week before? I forget anymore. I lose track of time. This pitiful Democratic debate and Republican debate. The most recent one was the Republican debate. And, you know, I think it's time for them to understand, or at least get the message, that Ronald Reagan is dead. And so is his brand of conservatism. I think it's now time for all but the most stubborn and lowest IQ of conservatives to finally fess up and admit that their great conservative movement, led by their exalted, almost deified St. Ronald of Reagan, it's failed. And it's not just failed, but it's failed so miserably. And when I watched their so-called debate last week, I knew right then and there from watching that that it's just one more nail in their coffin, that they're, this Reagan conservatism is in its death throes. And they might as well dig him up and get his casket and put it on an old-fashioned wagon or something and haul it around with them on the campaign trail, because you know they're going to invoke the name of Ronald Reagan over and over and over and over again. Till you would think Ronnie Reagan is running for president. You sure would have, after watching that debate last week. You'd have thought that Ronnie was alive and well. They couldn't get enough of him, now could they? All there with that stage set within the Reagan library, at the Air Force One hanging over, Nancy in the crowd. Oh, they must have just been, had goosebumps all over every time they said the word Ronald Reagan. Didn't say George Bush very much, but they sure said Ronnie Reagan a hell of a lot. They certainly did. But when I watched their debate last week, I knew conservatism is in its, as we know it today, this neoconservatism, I knew it's in its death throes. Here we had up on that stage, when asked the question, three men running for president of the United States raised their hand. When asked if there was anybody on stage who didn't believe in evolution, was it Tancredo, Huckabee, and Brownback? Welcome back to the Stone Age, guys. I don't know when I've seen a more ridiculous sight than those three boys proudly standing there with their little hands in the air declaring that 99.9% of known scientific evidence and study is wrong. These guys know better. And when you stop and think about it, only a simpleton of the highest order or someone with some sort of a sinister agenda, and I don't think that's the case, would deny that evolution is real. And I've often said the Republicans haven't had a new idea since they began purchasing women instead of clubbing them, and now they've proven it to me. I really did get a big charge out of that. I really did. But I don't know that they've understood that millions of Americans have jumped off of what was a popular bandwagon just a few years back, the Reagan conservatism bandwagon. They've seen that their own people who said they believed in smaller government and little or no foreign meddling and freedom from government intervention in private affairs didn't really believe in it at all. Now, did they? Certainly not. There's no way. No way you can believe in all those things, actually believe in them, and remain a Republican in today's political climate. It can't be done without you being just the worst hypocrite that you know. And I think for Ronnie Reagan neoconservatism, at least I'm one of those guys that put everything in sports terms, you know. It's the bottom of the ninth, they're down 10-1. There's nobody on base, two outs and two strikes. The game's almost over. The only problem is, all of this hasn't passed without doing what might be irreparable harm to our country. And probably administering a death blow to the Republican Party as we know it. I really don't think the American public will give them another chance after all the damage they've done to the American public. I really don't think so. Oh, they had help. They could never have gotten away with so much corruption and ill-advised governmental decisions without the Democrats laying down for them. And make no mistake, the Democrats did lay down for them. And yes, they've been amazingly incompetent. But the overriding problem, I think, with their failure, with the neocon failure, total failure of that ideology and that idea, that great experiment of this of theirs, is that it just wasn't a solid idea in the first place. It was a harebrained scheme from the very beginning. Sure, some of it worked out very well in their favor. Oh, yes. Transferring the wealth almost completely to the upper 10% of the population, oh, that worked very, very, very well. And if you you are a greedy son of a bitch, then that is right up your alley. And cutting the richest tax burden down to nearly nothing and using the USA's big charge card to pile up massive debt the working men and women of this nation will have to repay. Yes, all of that worked very well for them. Modern conservatism was something they promised would be good for the masses. It was their great experiment to see if the masses would be suckered into permanently giving away all of their rights, their privileges, and their money to the ruling class. And I think it's time that the lesser, the lower, those not in the ruling class, I think it's time that they wake up and understand what has happened to them. Stop and think of the great experiments, the great causes of Democrats and liberalism over the years. And oh, to be sure, you can find fault with every program. But throw it on the scales for the greater good of the American public, Social Security, Medicare, the EPA. Where would we be, warts and all, where would we be without the EPA? How many love canals would there be? Would this country be solid black with belching smoke coming out of the smokestacks of the rich and powerful companies, unregulated like it used to be? Would acid rain eat up everything? Would Washington, D.C. be black by now, all the beautiful white pristine buildings? Would the rivers be totally polluted? You know they would without the environmental protection because they were running amok before that came along. And other Democratic liberal things. The five-day work week. The child labor laws. If the Republicans had stayed in charge and the child labor laws hadn't come along, we'd have kids working in factories 16 hours a day for a nickel an hour, just like they used to. Well, when the Mellons and the Carnegies and those kind of people ran this country. It's a long list of things. Labor laws. All these things are still going. And despite the conservative intervention, all the attempts to try and destroy them over the years, they're all still working fairly well, considering. On the other hand, you got experiments in conservatism, Ronnie Reagan's great trickle-down economics, perpetual war to feed the military-industrial complex that Dwight Eisenhower warned all of us about. The unitary executive that says the president is above the law and should be above the law in times of crisis. Crises, I might add, of their very own making. They've all failed. And all of these things are costing the average American time and money and security and peace of mind. I asked somebody that I like a lot today just what the Republicans have ever done. Name me one thing. You know, I'm fond of asking that question. Name me one thing the Republican Party, the conservatives done, have done for the greater good of the average man in this country. And, of course, the old mantra came up, well, they got that tax rebate, $200 or $300. I know a lot of people really appreciated that. And I know that's a popular notion within the Republicans and the conservatives. I know it is. They love to say that. Well, they got that tax rebate, you know. How long did it take to spend that tax rebate in your gas tank nowadays? From the greed and corruption of the oil companies with the consent of the Bush administration. How long did it take to use up that $200 or $300? Oh, you had $200 or $300 in your hot little hand now, didn't you? Yeah. How much did your kids' tuition go up last year to college? How much your kids' school books in your public school go up? How much your taxes go up? How much of your pension have you lost? How much is your pension even worth anymore? That's the problem. That is the problem. Their great Republican neoconservative media machine has been so all-powerful that they have convinced the American public, the working men and women especially, those that hold the most votes in this country, they've convinced those people that they can buy them off with a $200 or $300 tax rebate and then steal back thousands from them without, right under their noses without them even realizing it. But I think that's over with. I think America's wising up. You don't have to be the brightest bulb in the drawer to see the failure, the complete failure of the St. Ronald of Reagan conservative movement. We work harder for less. Think about this. You know we do. We work harder for less now with little or no security and ever diminishing opportunities to grab even a small piece of what used to be the American dream. Our health care is absolutely unaffordable. We're finding out now that some of our food is not safe to eat. We're losing pensions that many of us worked decades for. Good jobs are almost non-existent for the average Sally and Joe. You got families with two working parents with two and three jobs each just to keep food on the table. College education for the masses is fading into the distant past. The security that we had as Americans, something that was once expected, it's now thought of as only a small possibility in most people's lives. Most Americans, according to many recent polls, have said America is on the wrong track. And I agree. I say, well, Guy, you're sitting here saying the Republicans are dead. The conservative movement is dead. Although they'll keep trying. They will keep trying, to be sure. I can only hope to God that if we have another awful incident like 9/11 in this country, that the media won't once again help these neocons establish another bastion right in front of all of our eyes and say, hey, no, I'll protect you. Just like Bush did. Remember, we got up to, what, 90% or 88 or whatever it was? I'll protect you. I'll protect you. Hand over your rights to me, and I'll protect you. They're going to keep on pandering to the fundamentalist Christian movement for votes. They'll continue to use fear and hate and intimidation to gather support from those people who aren't capable of independent thought. And they'll continue to pit white Anglo-American against anybody of a different color, a different culture, a different creed. They'll continue to hate the gays or anybody else they deem different. But they will lose. Ultimately, they will lose because I have faith that there really are enough Americans who are not simple-minded enough to fall for their malarkey anymore. We've seen your program, we've experienced it, and we don't want a damn thing to do with it anymore. I have faith that the average American no longer wants to live in a country where the working men and women get nearly nothing for their labor while their employers gather immense wealth. I have faith that the people of this nation will turn their back on those people who want unending war and don't know how to do anything who are unwilling to do anything about diplomacy. I have faith that Americans will finally realize that they've allowed their government to seize absolute power, the right to do away with habeas corpus, the willingness to torture prisoners and invade the privacy of its citizens, and just to keep doing things that generally are against the very fiber of the American Constitution and the great American way of life. I know, I believe, conservatism as we know it is dead. And thank God for that. And that's one of the reasons for this program. Sometimes they ask, what is the reason for my program? That's exactly one of the reasons for this program. To help make people understand just what kind of an oppressive, crazy group of people who seized control of this country for a while. And we'll take it back from them. We have to take it back from them. I think we've started. We've got a lot of unfinished business to do. But we will take it back. We will take it back from them. And with your help, I think we'll be able to get it done. I'm just sure of it. Where are we going to go here? 866, I've talked enough. 866-546-5254. I do hope you'll give us a call. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is Gore Vidal. Can you name the one country on earth where the government can steal elections, strip away basic rights, spy on civilians, launch wars based on lies, and where the people do not take over the nation's capital in protest? If you said the United States, you'd be right. So let's remedy that by calling our Congress members and asking them to support the impeachment of George Bush and Dick Cheney. This message is sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days, so surprise.
Head on radionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
My heart is heavy for all that has gone wrong. A sadness on our land rolls over me like sand. My soul is trembling in the shadows of the night. Our leaders teach fear. Our future seems drear. My mind is troubled by a world out of control. Have we lost our choice? Have we lost our voice? Look to the horizon, the sunlight can break through. What happens, my friends, all depends on what we do. Let's find a way out of the darkness. America renew, a shining way to a bright new day begins with me and you.
We have the power. We have the power.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. So glad to have each and every one of you along with us this afternoon. It's a little bit of a cloudy day here in Southwest Florida today. I hope it's nice where you are. Sure it is. Hey, as promised, and we always keep our promise, you know, David Swanson from AfterDowningStreet.org is with us right now. David, are you on the phone?
Yeah, good to be here.
Hey, welcome to the show. David and I met, just about a year ago at the Take Back America conference in Washington, D.C., and I don't know how many of you understand it, but David is a very, very busy guy, not just involved with AfterDowningStreet.org, right?
I've got a few jobs, but they all relate to impeaching the president or the vice president or ending this war or all of the above.
Oh, not really. You don't think these fine gentlemen are deserving of a thing like that, do you? After their stellar performance over the past 6 years and their complete honesty with the American people, I can't imagine what would cause you to say such a thing about these wonderful gentlemen that I hold in such high esteem. I'm not going to sit here and ask you to give me evidence for impeachment, because I think that's pretty elementary anymore. I mean, any thinking person knows that there's more evidence than we could shake the proverbial stick at. When did you start this, David, and why?
Well, there are those wiser and more far-sighted than I who've been pushing for the impeachment of Bush and Cheney since before they took office. You know, they stole the first election. But I got involved in this about exactly 2 years ago when the Downing Street memos came out, and some friends of mine thought that this appeared to be significantly stronger evidence of impeachable offenses than we'd had before, and believed we could make something happen. And we started trying, and we made some early progress and had some setbacks, and now we're seeming to make some good progress again, and it's none too soon, toward impeaching these guys.
You know, David, I don't think a lot of people understand about the Downing Street memos. They think that they're conjecture. They think that there's something somebody dreamed up. These are facts, are they not?
Yes. In fact, the Downing Street memo, the main first document that came out and earned that name, was actually minutes. It was the minutes of a meeting at which Tony Blair, the Prime Minister of United Kingdom, met with all of his top staff, including the head of their secret intelligence over there, who was just back from a meeting with George Tenet, who now has a book just out that hems and haws and spins away and passes the buck and blames the vice president, but also more or less confirms what happened at that meeting. And in fact, there was a book put out by James Risen, the same New York Times reporter who broke the story of the illegal spying by this same administration, that originally confirmed that, in fact, Sir Richard Dearlove had met for 90 minutes with George Tenet and spent the whole day meeting with the CIA at their headquarters, and that was where his information came from. And of course, this corresponds with what we've been told by numerous Bush administration officials and ex-officials, and the documents that have been declassified or been reported on. I mean, the case is simply overwhelming at this point, to the point where we don't much hear from Congress members anymore. There are no grounds for impeachment. We hear other arguments. And in fact, we saw Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois a week or so ago on the Senate floor say that he, as a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, had been shown classified information that made clear that the case being made publicly by the Bush administration was false.
That performance of Dick Durbin's made me extremely angry when I was sitting there watching it. Extremely angry.
Well, and you know, former Senator Edwards was on that committee as well, and unlike Senator Durbin, voted for the war and made the phony claims about the weapons that, according to Dick Durbin, he must have known were false. And to his credit, he admits at least that he was wrong to do that, which is more than we can say for Senator Clinton. But yes, it's all quite disturbing.
What do you think? What do you think about Tenet? As an aside here, I think he started out to try and clean up his image, to maybe get some blood off of his hands. I don't think he succeeded. I think he's gotten in deeper. Don't you?
I think so, and he's been asked to come testify in Congress and has thus far avoided it by pleading scheduling conflicts, which is presumably related to his obligations to sell his book. Among other factors, he certainly is making a fortune off this thing. But in terms of cleaning up his image, I think he's digging himself in deeper because he can't get his story straight, and he contradicts himself. And I think he's doing no good to his former colleagues. So even though he's trying not to criticize the president too much, he's clearly going after the vice president, as everyone seems to these days, and rightly so. I don't think he's helping his historical record.
No, not at all. And I think he's looked very defensive. He's looked very, very bad in every one of the interviews I've seen. He's looked very bad. I watched him with Matthews. Call Matthews Tim. He called Matthews Wolf. He was completely lost in that interview. He just looked so terrible. Getting back to the actual impeachment issue, how many state legislatures now have taken this issue up and sent up resolutions, passed resolutions calling for impeachment?
Well, that sort of effort started at the local level, and there are several dozen cities and towns that have passed resolutions.
Major cities, right?
Oh, major cities, including that of the Speaker of the House, San Francisco, but also many, many small towns, especially in New England, especially in Vermont, where citizens can propose agenda items and vote at public town meetings. So it's the closer you get to democracy, the more you get to impeachment, it appears. But then at the state level, there are 10 state legislatures, one or both houses thereof, that have introduced these resolutions to demand impeachment, either this year or last year or both. And there's one that has passed such a resolution, the Senate of Vermont, and the House defeated it, not by too much. But there are precedents through history of state legislatures, including Florida's, passing a resolution asking the U.S. House to impeach someone, specifically a judge, who was then impeached and removed from office.
Alcee Hastings, right?
No, no.
No, okay.
I'm talking about ancient history.
All right.
Talking 19th century, the Florida legislature asked the U.S. House to impeach a federal judge,
okay,
who was then impeached and removed from office, and did so by sending a petition from the state legislature. And so we're looking at that precedent. And the Vermont Senate has now done that, without the House, but the Vermont Senate. And it would really be unprecedented for the U.S. House to ignore that. The congressman from Vermont is holding a town forum on Saturday where he is going to hear from his constituents, and we'll see if he continues to ignore their demands.
Well, they have been ignoring the demands, and another group that I think has been ignoring this issue amongst the states that have taken it up, at least. I think the media has done a horrible job keeping their end of the bargain on impeachment as far as keeping the public informed on this and informed of these state house resolutions.
Well, if we had media organizations that operated as they should in a democracy, they would look at what people care about and cover those matters. And so the few polls that have been done suggest that a majority of Americans have long wanted impeachment of the president. Nobody's dared ask about the vice president for fear, presumably, of getting two-thirds of the country demanding it. And yet the media won't touch it, and their excuse has always been, well, we don't poll on or report on stories that aren't actually happening in Congress. Well, now we have articles of impeachment introduced in Congress against the vice president and members beginning to sign on and co-sponsor, including at least one member of Democratic leadership. And we still have the media not only not reporting on the matter, not reporting on the grounds for impeachment, not reporting on the movement for impeachment, and not polling the public on impeachment, Because, you know, it hasn't really happened yet. There's not a majority in Congress for it yet, et cetera. So there's this stonewalling, and it contrasts so starkly with the impeachment of Bill Clinton, which, you know, a group within Congress was for, but the public was always opposed to. And you had newspapers demanding he resign and impeachment all over the news day and night.
Well, I think a lot of the Republicans I've heard from said, well, you know, this isn't a serious effort to get him impeached. All you guys are doing is it's a vendetta against Bush because of the impeachment of Bill Clinton. I don't see it that way. The Clinton thing was a lousy little misdemeanor, in my opinion, and this is these are crimes of horrible proportions, I think.
Well, the strongest opponents of impeachment are the stark supporters of Bill Clinton, and most prominently his wife, who believes that impeachment would be bad for her electoral prospects and has told Nancy Pelosi. So among the Democrats, and it's not just Democrats, it's independents, and it's 20% of Republicans who are pushing for impeachment. The leaders are those who were no fans of Bill Clinton. Certainly I was not. But I didn't want him impeached for something that was not an impeachable offense because of the bad name that gave the impeachment process.
Sure.
And, you know, this is not about Clinton. It's not about Bush. It's not about Cheney. It's about whether whoever's in those offices in 2009 has any legal limitations on what they can do. And, you know, it's interesting that most of the Democratic candidates, like the Republicans, are not coming out and saying, if elected, I will not spy on Americans in violation of FISA and the Fourth Amendment. I will not lie us into wars. I will not reverse laws with signing statements. I will not torture, detain without charge, kidnap people and send them to other countries to be tortured. I won't do these things as president. And they are also not going after the Bush administration for these things in the only way left, with subpoenas being rejected, which is impeachment.
That's right. David, I think we've got somebody that may want to ask a question here. Did I lose you there?
Oh, I'm here.
Okay. Let's... Oh, I did lose David.
Did you?
I did lose David. I'm going to call him right back. This is a real professional way to do something here. Hi, David, are you still on the line? No. Let's just do this. There we go. We'll get this going again. Hi, David. We're back. That's what happens when you get the somebody other than the producer pushing the buttons around here. Sorry about that.
No problem. I probably missed hearing the question, I imagine.
Well, let's try it again. Well, I'm having just a gay old time here, not getting this done right. I apologize. Live radio, folks. We'll get this one way or another. We'll get this straightened out here. Let me see here. All right, here we go. Now we got our line. Don't think I've ever done this before. Hi, David.
Yeah.
Well, what I get for trying to be a producer today. Anyway, sorry about this. We're going to dispense with questions right now. Don't know exactly what's happening here, but What do you think? The rallies, the marches, all the programs like yours, and by the way, if there's something that everybody in the country ought to hear through the media, it's the speech you gave up to those folks in Maine. When was that, last week?
April 28th.
Oh, was that long ago? Okay. Fabulous. Yeah. Absolutely fabulous. Let everybody know where you can where they can find that.
Go to afterdowningstreet.org, and if you don't see it right away, click on videos at the top, and you'll go to a page with lots of interesting videos about impeachment and war and peace.
Well, that one up in Maine, it's not all that long, what, 10, 11 minutes or something like that. It's a great lesson. It really is, and you really did a terrific job on that. I commend you for that. It was just absolutely perfect. Dennis Kucinich, you've worked with Dennis Kucinich. You know Dennis Kucinich, and he's introduced the House Resolution 333 against Cheney, and he's gotten a couple of people to go along with him. Why can't he get more help with it?
Well, he only introduced it a couple of weeks ago, or less than that, and two people have signed on, Missouri Congressman William Lacy Clay and Illinois Congresswoman and part of the House leadership, Jan Schakowsky, which is very encouraging, but it's not nearly enough. But this is similar to what happened with John Conyers' bill in late 2005, early 2006. Slowly, a handful signed on, and it started to pick up, and then got up to 39 members about a year ago now. And then Nancy Pelosi ordered the Democrats off impeachment, said, parroting Republican National Committee talking points that had just come out without a shred of evidence behind them, that impeachment would be good for the Republicans in the 06 elections. And from that point on, nobody else was allowed to co-sponsor Conyers' bill. It was not reintroduced. Impeachment was off the table. No Democrats would touch the word impeachment. Although there were new Democrats elected campaigning on impeachment, many campaigning on accountability and other code words for impeachment, and we then have in recent weeks and months begun to see some of the Democrats, including Congressman Conyers, talk about impeachment. And we've seen John Murtha, who works very closely with Nancy Pelosi, go on the talk shows last Sunday and mention impeachment. And then when it became a big news story and he was questioned about it on NPR, restate that impeachment was on the table, specifically using the words of Nancy Pelosi, who had said it was off the table. And so we're starting to see these cracks, and we're starting to see activist organizations that have traditionally obeyed Nancy Pelosi talk about impeachment. So there are good reasons to be hopeful, but it's true. If we do not get many more co-sponsors over the coming weeks to sign on to House Resolution 333, we're not going to get anywhere. We have to do that, and we especially have to get members of the House Judiciary Committee, and that would include Congressman Wexler of Florida.
Yes, absolutely, Wexler. Do you think that Nancy Pelosi really believes that this will be harmful to the election, that if we go through with impeachment, or is there something else going on here?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, many in Congress are complicit in one way or another in many of the crimes of the Bush administration, though certainly not all of them. And those who are most reluctant to challenge the Bush administration are almost exactly those who have taken money from weapons makers, and that certainly includes Nancy Pelosi. But I'm convinced that her primary reason is her focus on the November 08 elections and her faulty sense of what will be advantageous in those elections. Because, I think it's absolutely morally reprehensible to put such concerns ahead of the question of whether those elections will elect a president or a dictator.
Absolutely.
And that's what this comes down to. But once you do that, get it right. You know, when they went after Nixon, they won. When they let Reagan go, they lost. When the Republicans went after Truman, they won. When they went after Clinton against the will of the public, for a crime that was not an impeachable offense, they still held on to power and began consolidating it. And if you go back to impeachments being brought by the Whig Party, there is not a case in history of impeachment hurting the party that brings it. In fact, the public is demanding now an end to the war and impeachment. And if you look at how we ended the Vietnam War, it was by bringing impeachment. It was the looming threat of impeachment that forced Nixon to back off. And during that relatively brief impeachment process, we created the Endangered Species Act, raised the minimum wage, passed a whole progressive agenda that this Congress can only talk about. So the idea that we have something else that's more important than impeachment when we've wasted a third of a year on nothing, and impeachment this time around would help end the war that much more because it would be about the war.
Well, and you hear the idea coming up from folks nowadays that aren't maybe the Democrats allowing this war to go on for political reasons, to extend it, to drag it out. That to me would have immense harm to the Democratic Party if they're playing politics with this. I certainly hope that's not the case, but it is, after all, Washington, D.C. we're talking about.
Indeed, and Congressman Rahm Emanuel, who is among the leaders of the Democrats in the House, has told the Washington Post that that is what the Democrats would like to see. They would like to see the war still going in November 2008 so that the Democrats can, quote-unquote, oppose it. And that's a disgusting proposition.
Sure is.
To sacrifice that many lives and that much safety and that much treasure and put our grandchildren in that much more debt and danger in order to win an election. It's also wrong. The American public is not going to vote for Democrats who do nothing on what they were elected to do for 2 years. And that's a long, long time. I know with the campaign underway, the media is acting as if the election is imminent, but it's almost 2 years away. It's a very long time. And the public is going to see this war as the Democrats' war and this president as the Democrats' president long before November 2008.
I think you're exactly right, and I think we're going to see many major changes in the political landscape between now and the next election. It's an eternity, really, when it comes to election. We're talking to David Swanson from afterdowningstreet.org, and you can go there and see many great videos. We use some of your PSAs on our program all the time. In fact, we just had the one from Gore Vidal on right before that you came on the program today.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
I encourage everybody to go to that site. And you've got your own blog now, too, right?
I blog at davidswanson.org. There's also a website at democrats.com, which is a group that I work for that's not the Democratic Party, but activists.
We know Bob Furtick over there, we've had him on the program before, and always enjoy talking to him. David, I thank you so much for being on the program today. It's great to hear from you and your ideas about impeachment. It's not too late for impeachment, is it, before this next cycle?
Absolutely not, and we have no choice but to make it happen. And thanks very much for everything you do, and say hi to Phil Restino and all my activist friends down there.
I certainly will. Thank you.
Thanks.
David Swanson of AfterDowningStreet.org. A pleasure to talk to him and to all the folks in his great organization. And thanks to Phil, Daytona Phil, for requesting that today. We were able to get David right on for you today. We try and do that. And once again, I do want to mention, if any of you have somebody that you'd sincerely like to have on the program, we always give it a try. We do, no matter who it may be. Somebody said earlier that they wish we'd had the Queen on. I don't know about that. That would have been a long shot for sure. Sorry about the little technical glitch we had there in the middle of it. I don't know exactly what's wrong with the buttons today, but anyway, we got through that okay, and it was good to hear from David Swanson. 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. You know, when we talk to people like David and others who are involved in the impeachment movement, and the protest across this country. As David mentioned, it's an eternity between now and November of next year. Many politicians will fade and rise during that time. Some of them we don't expect to fade will, and some of them we expect to rise to the top won't. There'll be many, many changes in what the press has to say about who are the favorites and who are the dark horses for the race to come up next year. And there may be many changes on the political landscape all across the board. There may be big changes in the war. I hope to God there are. I hope we can sit here next year at this time and say, you know, it was a great thing that the Democrats ended that war. It's a great thing that the nation came to its senses and forced the Democrats to end that war. And now we can have an election where there's not a war looming on the horizon. There's not a war with Iran off in the distance that we're worrying about. Let's have an election. You know, wouldn't it be nice to be able to sit here next year and say, let's have an election over domestic policies, over the many things, desperate things that we need in this country. How we need to do something so that the average family can afford to send their kids to college again. How we need to do something that makes sure everybody makes a decent wage for their hard work. There's so many domestic issues that we need to work on. And wouldn't it be great to be free of the chains of this terrible mess that we have in the Middle East right now with Iraq and maybe even Iran looming on the horizon? All of this can be turned around. It's not too late to turn it around. There are a lot of great people in this country that are willing to turn it around. We just have to make sure we get the message across to the right people, the people in both houses of Congress, and then get somebody in the... Well, we're not going to get anybody in the White House unless we actually do get an impeachment done, and wouldn't that be a great thing? Why would impeachment ever mean anything again? Through the rest of the history, for the rest of our nation's days, why would impeachment ever mean another thing if this man isn't impeached? It'd be just an empty threat. If impeachment isn't carefully considered now over all the horrible abuses of the Bush administration with George Bush and Dick Cheney and Pearl and Rumsfeld and Wolf and all of these people, if you don't seriously consider the crimes that these people have done and committed against America and the world, and if you take impeachment off the table and don't use it, the constitutional power we have to impeach a president and a vice president, if you don't do it now, then it's no longer useful. It no longer means anything. It would tell any president in the future of this country that they can do any damn thing they want to. I'll take away your rights. I'll take away your privileges. I'll spy on you. I'll go to war whenever I want to. I'll spend the national treasure at will to take care of my friends. That's what it'll tell any president in the future if Bush is allowed to get away with this. And that is not an extreme position at all. Not whatsoever is it an extreme position. I'm just being real. I'm just telling it like it is. And that's the truth. You know it. I know it. You know we need a change. You know we need to put a stop to the actions of the Bush administration. The sooner, the better. We're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. You are listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. Going to pause 5 minutes for news, and we'll see you right back here in just a few.
This is the Quality News Network. In Washington, House Democratic leaders will brief party members on a new Iraq war funding bill that includes a set of conditions, if not met by July, would give Congress the option of cutting funds off. Congressional Republican leaders say the bill is unfair and have vowed not to support it. In a move to give commanders in Iraq enough troops through the end of the year, the Pentagon has notified 35,000 more soldiers to be prepared for deployment to the region in the event they are needed. These additional forces would not be part of the so-called troop surge and would come from 10 army brigades from Germany and across the country. A group of Islamic militants were arrested Monday in New Jersey on charges of plotting to attack Fort Dix and kill U.S. soldiers. The six men, four from the former Yugoslavia, one from Jordan, and one from Turkey, were arrested during a sting operation while trying to buy automatic weapons. Authorities say the alleged terrorists have no ties to international terror groups. In Belfast, Catholic and Protestant leaders today signed a landmark power-sharing agreement creating a unity government in Northern Ireland. Protestant Ian Paisley has been elected as First Minister. Sinn Féin's Martin McGuinness has been elected deputy minister. The treaty puts an end to decades of bitter fighting between the two rival factions. Vice President Dick Cheney leaves for the Middle East today to meet with key U.S. allies in the region. Cheney's staff says the vice president will attempt to enlist the help of the United Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Jordan in establishing Iraq and diminishing the power of Iran. Rescuers began the recovery effort to retrieve the remains of all 114 passengers and crew who died when a Kenyan Airways jet crashed over the weekend. The six-month-old Boeing 737 went down in a mangrove swamp during a violent storm. The cause of the crash is still under investigation. In the Ukraine, a major pipeline supplying Russian gas to Europe has exploded. Authorities say the blast was an accident, not the result of sabotage, and should not endanger European fuel supplies. In the Niger Delta, a rebel group blew up three major oil pipelines in the Brass and Akassa areas. The rebels, who call themselves Fighters of the Movement to Emancipate the Niger Delta, are, according to authorities, the most well-equipped rebel group and are responsible for car bombings and kidnappings of foreign oil workers there. In California, a Fresno State University student who is believed to be responsible for the shooting of three people late last night is on the loose after a long standoff with police. Law enforcement began negotiating with the alleged gunman after the shooting occurred around 11:15 p.m. in an off-campus apartment. One of the three shooting victims has died. This is the Quality News Network.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now, in 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission. Mary Knoll.
Hebrew University has announced the discovery of King Herod's palace and tomb on a hilltop in Judea. Herod died in 4 BC, and his palace was destroyed by the Romans 65 years later. Astronomers at Berkeley University have discovered a supernova five times brighter than any exploding star ever seen before. The supernova is 150 times the mass of the sun. On Capitol Hill, the Senate has rejected a measure that would have permitted Americans to buy prescription drugs from Canada and elsewhere at steeply reduced prices. The move is seen as a boost to the U.S. pharmaceutical industry. And according to a Johns Hopkins University study, hospitals charge uninsured patients more than 2.5 times more than those with insurance. The discrepancy is the subject of more than 60 lawsuits nationwide. Starbucks has promised to eliminate artificial trans fats from its food and drinks by the end of the year. The change will affect all of its coffee shops in the U.S., Alaska, and Canada. European sportswear retailer Puma reported a 4% increase in quarterly profits. Puma earned nearly $131.5 million on sales of $899 million. Qantas Airlines announced today its $9 billion takeover deal has broken down. Shares of the Australian airline dropped more than 4%. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $62.01 a barrel right now. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is down 28 points, the NASDAQ is down 6, and the S&P 500 is down 4 points. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Jay Galley.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. 6... 5... 4... 3... 2... 1...
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well, that's 7 minutes after 4 o'clock Eastern time. Welcome back to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. It's an honor to have each and every one of you join us here on the program today. It's our aim to provide you with a good program every day, try and find you the best guest available. And sometimes we have guests, sometimes we don't. Sometimes days call for that, and some days don't. But I enjoy talking to David Swanson. He's a very important cog in the anti-Bush impeachment movement, an all-around great guy and extremely knowledgeable. Knowledgeable guy. We would be glad to have you join us here on the program. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Just looking at my notes here, seeing if I've missed any. You know, I did run across one quick story that I wanted to mention. We have a hard enough time getting medical care for American soldiers who have been wounded. Sometimes, many times, all too many times, grievously wounded in the Bush-Iraq war. But imagine this. Imagine you're in the Iraqi army, and if you get wounded, you can just take care of yourself. How about that? No medical care for Iraqi wounded soldiers. There's a gentleman, just one example. There's a gentleman now, he's First Sergeant Masson, 22 years old. He's a one-legged man whose brothers carry him from his bed where he has dreams of loud explosions. They carry him to his computer where he researches prosthetic legs. He spends his $460 a month soldier's salary on the $3,400 in medical expenses that he's accrued. And as the U.S. military prepares for an eventual handover of security duties to Iraqi forces, more of Iraq's 120,000 soldiers are advancing to the front lines of this war, and more of them are being wounded. But because there are no Iraqi military hospitals, thousands have been left to the mercy of the overtaxed and corrupt civilian hospitals and a military compensation system paralyzed by red tape and disorganization. And according to the soldiers, their family members, doctors, and military officials. That's an amazing story. They didn't provide this man with crutches or a wheelchair. They provided him with nothing. He has to take care of his own medical care. Lost his leg for the so-called Iraqi freedom. Wow. Quite a story. 866-546-5254. I was looking at email during the news break there, and I must admit I didn't listen to the news. I hope there's nothing frightening on there or something pressing that that I didn't hear, but I didn't listen to it. I was looking at the email over it, and somebody somebody from the right wrote to me about the debates and how can I say that about evolution and all that, that Brownback and Tancredo and why can I never remember, and Huckabee stand there and hold their hands up in the air and saying that they don't believe in evolution. But the word debate really rubs me the wrong way on these. And I'm not talking just about the Republican one. I'm talking about the Democrat one. Why do they call them debates? Why? I was on the debate team in college. And I can tell you that there's nothing debated at the Republican gathering of candidates at the Reagan Library, just as there was nothing debated at the Democrat so-called debate a couple of weeks ago. What I have to wonder is, why don't they just call these little candidate circuses what they really are, which is plain old bullshit. Nothing important's ever discussed. You know, somebody told me over the weekend, he said, well, you know, I really resent, he was a Republican. He said, I really resented, I watched the one of the Democrats, and they gave Hillary a pass. They gave them all a pass. Every one of them. And all the Republicans got a pass. If I were asking the questions, if I were Tweety Matthews and whoever did the other one, I forget, I'd be embarrassed. I'd be embarrassed that you stood there and let these people run over you. You ask them questions, and they don't answer them. And you just let it go. Why isn't there somebody there with enough guts to stand up and say, no, you didn't answer my question. This citizen wrote in this question or sent this in by email or whatever. I ask it to you in good faith. I expect a good faith answer. Why don't any of these so-called media figures have the cojones to do that? So, well, if we did, they won't come back on our shows anymore. All right, to hell with them. But make no mistake, they want to FaceTime, so they will be back on your shows. So I don't understand it. I don't understand this, what it appears to me to be collusion between the media and administration officials and the Congress. I don't understand it. I don't understand this little Washington insider thing. I don't understand why David Gregory, for example, would be at the dinner last night for the Queen. Why would David Gregory and his wife go to this thing last night for the Queen at the invitation of Mr. Bush? Does he think the rest of us think that he can, you know, retain his objectivity after getting an invite to being one of only, what was it, 132 or 134 people to get to walk in there? And by the way, did you see the picture of Lynn Cheney and their daughter in wearing the curtains? Ah, yeah. Just like that famous, now I can't even think of her name. Great variety show they had on TV. My goodness. Yeah, Carol, well, whatever. Famous scene where she wore the curtains. That's what Lynn Cheney looked like now. It looked like she wore a big old pair of satin curtains to the deal last night. Her and her daughter both. But these debates, I mean, there's no real answers to serious questions. They're never honestly answered or straightforwardly answered. And did any of the viable candidates in any of these things give a real answer to the question about the war? Of course, the answer to that is absolutely not. Did the Democrats give straight answers to those who ask about impeachment of this criminal administration? No. Why not? Because they're too cowardly to do so. That's why not. Did any of the Republicans tell us how they'll end the war? Hell no. Did any of them answer questions about the fraud and the corruption of the Bush administration? No. Carol Burnett's who I was looking for, by the way. Finally slipped into my mind there. Remember that scene where she came downstairs wearing the curtains? That's what Lynn Cheney looked like. And
And yet we have the media. We have the Timmy Russerts and we have the Chris Matthews and all these people. They tout these so-called debates as being of some sort of monumental importance. And the public buys the hype. Oh, they do. And I've heard so many comments from individuals who watched their party's so-called debate and said, well, you know, so-and-so is my candidate now because they said this or that. Really? You could base your decision, your obligation to vote for a candidate, you could base that on your decision, you know, on one of these people because of some flippant, politically calculated answer during one of these stage coached circle jerks? I mean, how shallow can somebody be to make a statement like that? Oh, yeah, I watched the debate last night. Now I'm all for Romney or I'm all for Chris Dodd or I'm all for whoever because I liked what he said on this one answer he gave last night. Oh, boy, it was really good and he won me over. There's just too many shallow people. I mean, let's face reality here. These people have worked with their focus groups for weeks getting ready for one of these debacles, and their responses are not answers to the questions asked, but they're carefully crafted words meant to pander to certain segments of the audience. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. They don't mean what they say. They would never back up what they say because what they say isn't reality. And when it comes down to it, it's all a sham meant to fool voters into liking them. And from what I've studied, there were several of our best presidents who were not likable at all. But they commanded respect because they were great leaders who made decisions based on what was best for the country. Now, all we have is nothing more than a superficial beauty contest. Really, the whole thing's conducted with no more seriousness and depth than the Miss America contest. And I think that's exactly right. Who looks the best? Who answers a few stupid questions the best? Who smiles the best? Who lies the best? It's all a cruel joke on the American public. And the only problem is the American public swallows the bait, hook, line, and sinker, and many times we end up with a president who's no more qualified to hold the office than Larry Curley or Moe. And if you don't believe that, just take a look at who's sitting in the big fancy chair in the Oval Office nowadays. Twice, the very least of all the candidates assumed the Oval Office in the last two elections. I understand that Karl Rove picked him and got him into the Oval Office twice, but it totally confounds me as to what made Karl Rove think he could take this dunce and get him elected. But I guess Rove has a complete and total understanding of the utter foolishness of many of the voters. All I can say to that scary 20%, 28% I think it is, who's still backing him, you elected him. You deserve him. God help us all. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hello, Juanita.
Well, I missed the curtains.
Oh, the Carol. Oh, you didn't see.
I've got to look for that. I was watching part of it, and I did you see Bush's gaffe?
Oh, sure. Actually, I expected he'd pull off even better ones than that.
I don't know. It just got me laughing like crazy.
Well, the Queenie didn't think it was very funny.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, if looks could kill.
Yeah. He said, how did she say, he say it? She was familiar with what went on because she'd done.
Yeah, with 10 presidents ever since 1776. You know, you knew he was going to do it, Juanita. You knew something stupid was coming out of his mouth.
I just kept laughing. I don't know, it just struck me so funny. And then your curtain thing a while ago did too.
You remember that scene?
Well, Carol, oh, I sure do.
Carol Burnett.
Yeah, it comes from Gone with the Wind, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I never will forget that one with Carol Burnett, yeah.
That's what Lynn Cheney looked like.
I just couldn't refuse it or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I watched the debates, too, and I thought the three leaders did the least best of all of them.
Yeah.
If you could say any of them did good.
It is a sorry mess. I didn't get any.
I don't know. They have to do something different. I mean, the Democratic one I didn't care for either, you know. Like, there's too many of them, and there's too ridiculous of a question sometimes, such as Tweety Bird's, do you want Hillary in the White House, or do you want Hillary, or whatever?
Yeah, some of the questions
are... What do you expect?
That's right. That's right.
I would like to say one more thing about the trickle-down you were talking about earlier. If you stop and think about it, we've had trickle-down for a mighty long time, all through the centuries of our world, of the world, you know, because the slavery system, that was trickle-down economics.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and that's what they would love to see us all be.
Well,
I think that's what they're working toward.
The only thing is that the trickle down, it's a trickle, all right.
I mean, by
the time it gets down to the bottom group, like we always said on the farm, some people get the wheat and some get the chaff. Why by the time it gets to the bottom, nothing left but the corn cobs or the chaff, that's for sure.
Right, that's right. Yeah. Okay, well, I wanted to have my little say.
Thank you, Juanita.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, it's California, too.
We got that annoying clicking there today.
It's not at this end. It's some of your text, I'm afraid. But you want me to try to call you back?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
All right.
Thank you. Who knows what that is? I know it's not in our phone lines, but... I got a kick out of that that Dana Perino, that lightweight, know-nothing assistant to Tony Snow in White House. She said, people don't understand how it can be very distracting when Helen Thomas asks questions. When you start to answer, she just keeps talking. Maybe the problem Perino has, not maybe, absolutely the problem is when Helen asks a question, she wants an answer. That's the problem. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Did we get rid of the clicking?
And we sure did.
Oh, good. Well, I thought one great exception in these so-called debates was a former senator named Mike Gravel. I think he called things as he saw them, and very directly. I was surprised, though, that when the moderator asked, will anybody here support Dennis Kucinich in his impeachment measure? No hands. None.
No.
Not even Mike.
No.
You know, and the people want that. The people are saying now, we need to hold these folks accountable. I always think the world of Dennis Kucinich, and he did say, I understand you have one candidate seeking the presidency who will try to hold him accountable. I thought that was great.
Yeah, well, Dennis would, and Dennis has the courage, the political courage to do it. And sadly, there just aren't enough in the world of... politics in Washington to help him do it. Not enough with the courage. It's just not there.
I much appreciated your interview with David after Downing Street. I think the man's doing a wonderful thing as best he's able. You too.
Oh, he is. And be sure and go to afterdowningstreet.org and watch that video of the speech he gave up at that group in Maine. I tell you, it is really, really worth the listen. It's David at his best.
AfterDowningStreet.org and listen to his talk.
Yeah, you'll see a picture of a video at the top. I think he's wearing I don't know what he's wearing, but anyway, it'll say something about being in front of the group in Maine, and it's just a great speech.
I'm gonna go hear it.
Thank you, Dave.
You do a wonderful thing, Guy.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Get the word out as much as we can.
We're working on it.
Take care.
Bye now. Oh yes. A lot of you know who Harry Rollins is. He's got his show, a little bit of a wacky show on TV, but this will take a couple minutes, but I thought you ought to hear this. I thought you'd enjoy hearing this from Henry Rollins.
Impeachment. To be impeached. Sounds kind of nice if you don't know what it means. The word conjures up images of being covered from head to toe in thick, high fructose syrup and small bits of fruit and being licked all over by whatever turns you on. But as you know, it's nowhere near that. To impeach, as the dictionary defines it, is to challenge the validity of another.
To be impeached is to be held in contempt or otherwise impeded or ensnared. It also translates into potential trouble for a president if that word starts making the rounds in his proximity with any great frequency. Well, for the time being, in some circles, the words impeach and Bush are pairing up all the time. Impeach Bush. ImpeachBush.com. Impeach Bush while you wait. Impeach Bush for the things he done. Impeach Bush because it sounds like fun. Impeach Bush until the day is done. In 2005, Michigan Congressman John Conyers introduced House Resolution 635, a long and detailed report with over 1,000 footnotes that accuses the Bush White House of, among other things, manipulating pre-war intelligence and taking liberties with the Constitution. Didn't get much press because of that whole liberal media mafia thing, but it set the internet blogs on fire as both sides traded violent invective with great ferocity. That's just impeachy. Now, I've noticed that no one on the Republican side of the fence seems all that concerned about impeachment proceedings going forward. And if I were them, I wouldn't be, because we all know it's their country that we're living in. And besides that, we all know what really constitutes grounds for impeachment proceedings, don't we? Cherry-picking intelligence to fit a pre-scripted agenda, shoving aside the UN and going for the we'll shock them, and then we'll arm, and then they'll greet us in the streets as we democratize them, high-tech, prime-time pyro demonstration of what we do to oil-rich dictator dickheads we don't like is okay. Playing fast and loose with the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act is just another day at theoffice.com. Saddam bin Laden for Dummies, which you can purchase in English or Farsi for $9.11, is the 666th amendment to the New Testament. That's just the gospel. You preach it, you teach it, dare not to question, don't even think to impeach. We know how you get that impeachment ball rolling, don't we? You gots to fool around with the help. You gots to grope. You gots to break the chains of wedlock and do what millions of tax-paying, fast-food-eating Americans do every day. You got to have an affair that offends millions and gets no one killed. Now, if only Karen Hughes had been caught naughtily nibbling on the president's numbnuts, no doubt Ken Starr would have been woken up out of his stupor and told to lock and load and get ready to rumble. So impeachment, not likely. At least we have each other. I love you.
Slowly but surely, the truth will be known. Either we'll succeed or we won't succeed. And the definition of success, as I described, is, you know, sectarian violence down. Success is not no violence. There are parts of our own country that, you know, have got, you know, a certain level of violence to it. But success is a level of violence where the people feel comfortable about living their daily lives. And that's what we're trying to achieve.
job. It bring more makes it safe for you. It's death for many, riches for the few. And you say that it can never happen here. And you say that it can never happen here.
We've got phone lines open at 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. Join us here on the Guy James Show and the Head On Radio Network. I'd like to thank Billy Shears, music director of the Guy James Show, for all the great tunes he sends our way. Billy's a hardworking guy. Be sure and visit his site there at unreportednews.net. Billy's got a special section there that I know you'll want to see. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Phil up in Daytona Beach.
Hi, Phil.
Hi. Wow, thanks for a great show, as always, and getting David Swanson on was fantastic. Thank you.
Well, David's an important guy.
He sure is.
He doesn't see himself as important, but he is important.
He's a true patriot.
He certainly is,
and
his political resume proves it.
And what he's doing right now on with that AfterDowningStreet.org website, which is a marvelous resource for all of us to go to as far as what can we ourselves do personally.
Right.
The frustration of having these folks in Congress not carrying out their duty, as far as pursuing impeachment against these criminals, Bush and Cheney and the rest of them, is so frustrating. But there are other things that are working that I've been noticing by reading the different posts on AfterDowningStreet.org.
Well, isn't it something, Phil, how the members of Congress can see their duties to be something so different than what we see their duties as being? It's like they live in an alternate universe. They don't appreciate at all what it is that we expect them to do, that we actually expect them to adhere to the Constitution and behave in a ethical manner when they go there and do our bidding. That's what they're there for, to do our bidding, and yet they forget about that.
And shame on the American people, Guy, but the American people are finally waking up. We can't fault the American people altogether. You know, this has been a long, thought-out process as far as stealing our government from us, the people, and they've used that damn idiot box. My father, when we were children, he used to line us up, and this was the black and white TV with the rabbit ears. He'd line us up, point that at the box, and say, "See that box? That damn box is more powerful than an atom bomb, and it'll be the weapon that defeats us, and they'll do it without firing a shot." And you know what? It's been done.
Your father's prophecy is certainly coming true.
And you know the irony of it is he's one of those guys with more televisions than people in his house, and he's a rabid right-wing Fox News junkie, And I called him on it, and it's a shame that, we're this far along in life and he still slams the phone down on me when we can't even have a discussion. I don't understand. There's some kind of missing piece of these folks that traditionally vote for the Republican Party, or maybe even the Democrats too. Whoever put their party before right and wrong and American first, the loyalty to their party or the fact that they can't admit being wrong. Where we've actually got a million people dead because people can't admit to being wrong. This is still being allowed to go on, this genocide over in the Middle East, at our hands.
Isn't it something?
I know you have other callers. I did want to mention the idea I had of what we can do. And what I've been noticing, Mayor Rocky Anderson has been a big part of this. Folks are getting their own mayors and council people and all that they're presenting them with the oath of office that the mayors have taken. And they're saying, look, you swore an oath to this Constitution, and you have a duty to, when it is under threat, to speak out in support of it, or you're not fulfilling your duty. And this is happening more, and you'll see these posts on the afterdowningstreet.org where the Minneapolis, Minnesota mayor just came out. This is happening everywhere, and this is what we can do. We have to push our elected officials. We have to call them on their oath to the Constitution. And Mayor Anderson, I don't know if he debated.
Yeah, I wondered how that turned out. I never heard.
We watched it, and here's the thing. Mayor Rocky Anderson, it was televised on the internet Friday night. He presented a 30-minute presentation. He went first, slideshows and everything. And anyone watching it would say, well, gee, you know, let's stop right now and get the handcuffs and go get these guys and put them in jail. You know, he had presented such. I'd love to get a tape of this or DVD, and actually, we could actually make a DVD copy of this 30-minute case. It's a lawyer's, like a prosecutor. You know,
how did it appear to come out, him and Hannity? I mean,
I thought it was a good thing. You know, because Hannity did his, he couldn't address any of the actual facts. You know, he did, you know, showed slides of, you know, troops getting wounded and support. The same old take your eye off the ball BS, you know. You want to support the troops, get them the hell out of there. But my point is, Rocky Anderson, we as people, as citizens, our government's been stolen from us. These representatives are not serving us. They're serving greater powers than us. And we will not have the greater power until we exercise it. There's 300 million Americans. There's so many more of us. And people power is powerful. It overcomes so many things when exercised. So we can do this locally, folks. Get on this afterdowningstreet.org website, and there's so many resources for what we can do locally, and we could actually force our Democratic clubs or Republican clubs or whatever clubs to write a resolution and vote on it, you know, and then pass it up the line. We could take it to our city councils. And this is being done all over the country. And it's going to, impeachment and change, it's going to come from the bottom up.
Right, you are.
You know, and it really, these kids are not going to stop. This genocide will not stop until enough American people make it happen.
Yep.
You're
right. Thank you, Phil.
Guy, thank you so much.
You're a good activist there, working toward the greater good, and I appreciate it, and I know the rest of our listeners do as well.
Glad to be in the fight with you, Guy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, my. That's clear across the state, up toward the northern part of the state here, just south of Jacksonville a little ways, Daytona. And pretty good drive from where we are here in southwest Florida, probably about 5 hours to get over to Daytona. And something we're not doing a lot of right now is doing a lot of driving. Are you doing a lot of driving? Can you afford to do a lot of driving? How much is gas in your area? And I've tried to get an expert on the program about the gasoline situation. And it's hard to get somebody that isn't from the American Enterprise Institute or one of the right-wing, flaming right-wing sites that is supported totally by the oil companies. I'd like to get somebody with a unbiased point of view. And I would like to have somebody explain to me. You know, there's so many myths about what goes on in the oil business in this country. The myth right now about the refineries, for example. You know, well, we can't build it. You know, and they blame it all on the Democrats, naturally. Well, we don't have enough oil right now. We don't have enough gasoline right now
because it's the old law of supply and demand, and we can't get enough of it refined, therefore the price goes up. First of all, I understand economics, and I understand the law of supply and demand, but would somebody tell me, with a company like ExxonMobil making, what was it, $40 billion last year, something like that, highest profit ever of an American corporation, why is it that transfer of wealth from our pockets, filling our tanks, that goes into the few shareholders of a company like ExxonMobil, why is that transference of wealth absolutely necessary? When our companies and when our country's having a hard time right now, when the working men and women are having a hard time affording the gasoline it takes to put in their cars so that they can drive to work and make a living to feed their kids and pay their mortgage, why does the price have to go up? I understand that it does. And again, I understand the law of supply and demand. But why must it go up? Why can't a company like ExxonMobil do the right thing, be a good American company, and take a little less profit for the greater good of the American people during these hard times with the gasoline? But no, let's raise that price and gouge them. You know, for example, when we have hurricanes here in Florida, we have laws against gouging, that just because the supplies are short, you cannot raise the price and gouge people. Why isn't it like that for the oil companies? And then we hear the BS from them. Well, you know, we can't build any more refineries because, the environmentalists have kept us from building new refineries. And that Clean Air Act and all. And there's so much bureaucracy that we just can't get permits. That's total BS. Total and completely BS. The fact is that environmental regulations are not preventing new refineries from being built in the U.S. from 1975 up to the present day. The EPA has only gotten one permit request. Get this, one permit request for a new refinery. And in March, the EPA approved Arizona Clean Fuels application for an air permit for a proposed refinery in Arizona. That's simply not true. That they, because of environmental protection, that they can't build new refineries. Absolutely not true. Why didn't they apply for more permits? Because they don't want to give up any of their precious profit. Why sell the gas for $2 a gallon or $1.50 a gallon when you can get $4 for it? It's the way they look at it. And one of the other myths is that the U.S. oil refinery market is competitive in this country. It is not. There's industry consolidation going on in the oil business. The largest five oil refiners in the United States include ExxonMobil, ConocoPhillips, BP, Valero, and Royal Dutch Shell. They control over half of the domestic oil refinery capacity, and the top 10 refiners control 83% of it. Only 10 years ago, the five companies I just mentioned only controlled about a third of the domestic refinery capacity, and the top 10 only controlled about 55%. So you can see what is happening here. They're consolidating more and more power all the time, and they've got the ability now to gouge the American public all they want to. And another myth is, it said, well, the United States maxed out all of its oil refining capability. Simply not true. What they've done is drive all the smaller independent refiners right out of business. Congressional investigation uncovered internal memos written by the major oil companies operating in the U.S. discussing their successful strategies to maximize profit by forcing independent refineries out of business. Which, of course, results in smaller capacity.
So don't let anybody kid you about this. There is no reason that gas prices have to be through the roof right now. It is by design. It is by careful calculation and conniving over the years. It is by collusion between the oil companies and the several governments in this world that they're allowed to get away with highway robbery. They can, and they are, raping the American public and taking money right out of each and every one of our pockets. Some of us can afford it, and some of us cannot. It's a terrible position to be in. I don't know where it's going to end, and I hear some people saying that the oil prices are peaking out, hitting their peak. I don't think so. We shall see. We'll be back in a moment.
Just to sprinkle stardust and to whisper, go to sleep, everything is all right. I close my eyes, then I drift away into the magic night. I softly say, like dreamers do, then I fall.
Hey, back with you here on the Guy James Show. Welcome. And I hear a few of you liked Roy Orbison. Man, I sure did. I liked Roy Orbison a whole lot. I was just mentioning to somebody on the chat room that you remember when he did a duet with K.D. Lang on with Crying. You know, that was Roy Orbison's signature song, Crying. And the great Roy Orbison letting someone sing that song with him, you should give you some idea of what a tremendous talent he thought K.D. Lang is. I wonder whatever happened to K.D. Lang. Haven't heard anything from her for a long, long time. She's Canadian, and don't know, just haven't heard anything from her in a long, long time. One of the more powerful female voices I think I ever heard. Anyway, we're in the last throes of the show here today. And you still have time to call us, 866-546-5254. Our good friend Paul sent me some very interesting email. And it had one of these things, Democrats, about the cows. Any of you see this one about the cows? If you're Democrats, you have two cows, your neighbor has none, you feel guilty for being successful, and Barbara Streisand sings for you. If you're a Republican, you have two cows, your neighbor has none, so. And if you're a socialist, you have two cows, the government takes one and gives it to your neighbor. You form a co-op to tell him how to manage his cow. And if you're a communist, you have two cows, the government seizes both of them and provides you with milk. You wait in line for hours to get it, and it's expensive and sour. A lot of really good ones on it. If you're a French corporation, you have two cows. You go on strike because you want three cows. You go to lunch and drink wine, and life is good. And if you're an Italian corporation, you have two cows, but you don't know where they are. While rambling around, you see a beautiful woman. You break for lunch, and life is good. And a German corporation, if you have two cows, you engineer them so that they're all blonde, drink lots of beer, give excellent quality milk, and run 100 miles an hour. But unfortunately, they also demand 13 weeks of vacation every year. Oh, I tell you, the Europeans have it over on us on vacation, don't they? I think we Americans now, hourly-wise, are probably the hardest-working people on Earth. We used to think that we had all the best of everything in the realm of our working lives, but we don't anymore. And it's been a while. First of all, our good jobs have been shipped away to someplace else. The wages have remained stagnant. We're in a mess, frankly. Wonder what's going to end it. You know, and I do want to apologize. I had a couple of people send me some emails looking at during the little musical break we had there for a moment. I was going to talk about the Sunni and the Shia today, and I think we'll do that tomorrow. We are going to have Robert Borisaj on tomorrow from the Campaign for America's Future, the Take Back America conference that's coming up again soon. And Robert is got great credentials, and I think you'll find him to be a very, very good guest tomorrow. But I do apologize. I just ran out of time today. We were going to talk about the difference between the Sunni and the Shia and why there's all that problem with them over there. A lot of people don't have any understanding of that whatsoever. None at all. They think it's something completely different than what it is. And I have to wonder if we Americans are stupid enough to think that we're going to have an impact on the differences between the Sunni and the Shia. A lot of people don't understand that although the Shia are now taking control of the government in Iraq, or trying to anyway, and the Iranians are also Shia, that the vast majority, I think it's around 90% of Muslims in this world are Sunni. So I don't think the Shia better get too excited about their good fortune, maybe it's good fortune. Of getting some control, and I understand after many years of being oppressed by the Sunni in that area of the world, and by the Baathists and by Saddam Hussein, I understand they're wanting to get some power in the country. I do understand that. I think it's very natural, but just some interesting things we all need to talk about, and I think tomorrow we may get a chance to talk about it. Just what happened way back when, why there are the differences between the Sunni and the Shia. So everybody bring your pencils and papers and notebooks tomorrow, and we'll hold a little class on that. Now, you could probably teach me a thing or two, but it's something we do need to discuss. And it's something I'm afraid the American government had no inkling, had no earthly idea about when this whole business started. I really don't think, I doubt whether George Bush had any clue as to the nature of the problem between the Shia and the Sunni before we went to war in Iraq. I would bet you money he didn't know the difference. I'm not saying everybody needs to know that, but I'm wondering why the leader of a country wouldn't before he would take us into war. I don't know why the Pentagon and everybody else wouldn't have a complete and total understanding of that and know what they were getting our soldiers into before some almost 3,400 of them now are killed, and this has been another disastrous week for American soldiers dying. It's unforgivable that this sort of thing would happen, that we would go headlong into a war and not have an understanding of what kind of a war we were getting in, have no knowledge of the language, the culture, and yet commit our troops to going door to door and dealing with people face to face and not knowing a damn thing about them. It's a pretty incredible situation, I think. And it's also pretty incredible that we had a government willing to throw us headlong into something like that. I don't think this nation ever should forgive the likes of George W. Bush and his administration for this horrible mess they've gotten us into. And make no mistake, it is a horrible mess. Well, another show gone by. I don't know where the time goes. We enjoyed your participation in the program. We thank you all for listening, the folks over at iTunes and Head on Radio Network and the various other websites that link up to the show. I want to thank you very much for doing that. We hope to talk to you again tomorrow, talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening. This is the Guy James Show and the Head on Radio Network. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.